Thank you for your welcome. And could I say thank you on behalf of Valerie and myself and the Coleraine Church as well. New buildings are good to us, and we appreciate your kindness. And thank you very much, and it's good to fellowship with you. I was just thinking there when Pastor Campbell said about the Johns about the place, pastoring in Ephesus. I think they're old enough, they probably did. You know, some of these boys. But anyway, thank God for them. I'll tell you one thing, when you're going out to do a bit, they're always there. And we need younger men raised up to take on the mantle and serve the Lord, get involved in the work of God. But anyway, do appreciate your help. You're good to us, I know that, and you know it too. And I thank the pastor and the board and the members here, the way they've treated us and been kind to us down through the years. And we appreciate it very, very much. If you have a Bible with you, I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark chapter 4, a short reading. I'm sure you've heard this portion preached on many times, and you'll say I've heard it better than him. But anyway, don't you worry about it. The Lord will help us, and the Lord will bless us, and the Lord will encourage us, and maybe the Lord will speak to us. Mark chapter 4, and just coming to the end of the chapter, from verse 35 to 41, says these words. Mark chapter 4, and the 35th verse to the end of the chapter. On the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was nigh full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, curse thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I would title my sermon tonight, The Storms of Life and the Will of God. You see, there's a false gospel preached today, and it's simply this. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved, all your cares go, all your worries go, and you'll never have trouble again. And there's people embrace it, and then something hits their door, and they're away. And I say, well, the Lord failed me, and the Lord let me down. Folks, that's not the gospel found in the Bible. The Bible says, They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution and opposition and difficulties and things in life. But I want you to notice in this portion of Scripture, in verses 35 to 37, the first thing you notice is that there's a great storm. A great storm. And the nations are in a great storm today. And everywhere you go, all people want to talk about is COVID and the United States of America and Brexit. Dear Christian friend, tonight, I think it's time we get back to talking about the Lord Jesus. I think it's time we get back to reading His Word. I think it's time we get back to talking about Christ and about Calvary and about the cross and the loveliness of Him. There's a great storm. But first notice in verse 35 His promise. On the same day, when even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over onto the other side. There's going to be a great storm in the lake. A storm like these men have never seen before, or been through before, and they're seasoned fishermen. Them boys knew what it's like to be in a storm. Them boys have faced storms before, but never one like this. This is going to be the biggest storm they've ever faced in their life. But He has given them a promise. Let us pass over onto the other side. He says, boys, you see the far side of the lake there? And I've been in that little lake in Galilee, or that big lake in Galilee. And boy, it's some size of a lake. And he says, do you see that far side? This boat's going over. And dear Christian friend, you see, when we're saved, we're going to the other side. My granny used to have an old record in the house, and it went like this. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Folks, this isn't our final resting place. And we're going to pass over onto the other side. No matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening in the nations, no matter what way it all ends, He has given us a promise that we're going over onto the other side. Do you remember poor old Moses is dead? And he says to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, he says these words to him, doesn't he? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? He says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He says, listen, Joshua, you're going to replace my servant Moses, but I've given you a promise. No matter where you go, I'm going to go with you. And dear Christian friend, we're going home someday to glory. Now, some of us are a wee bit closer to glory than others. And that's lovely to know, isn't it? We're a wee step further home, even today. But he has given his people a wonderful, wonderful promise in this great storms of life that we are going over onto the other side. Hebrews 13:5-6. He says, we're not to fear what man will do unto us. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So here's the disciples in a storm, and the Lord's with them. And maybe tonight you're in a storm. Your home, your family. Boy, there's a few businesses in storms, isn't there? There's a few churches are in storms. And boy, the Lord's given a wonderful promise here. He says, let us pass over onto the other side. But there's not only his promise. There's his presence. And when he sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. The Lord's presence was with them in the boat in the midst of the storm. I don't care what you're going through in life. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't care what storm you're in or what storm Kenny's in. You can count on the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit in the storm. In the storm. What a wonderful promise to know. Now the Lord says, we're going on to the other side. His presence, they took him even as he was. What about his providence? Verse 27. And there arose a great storm of wind, that the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. It was in the providence of God that his people would go into this storm. You see, the Lord had been teaching them in the classroom, and now he takes them into the school of life. And in the providence of God, he leads them into this storm. Folks, I don't know much about COVID, but I know this here, that the Lord is sovereign. And nothing happens that doesn't get past his will. I'm reading the book of Job in my devotionals in the morning. I'm sure you've read it many times. And the devil wants to touch Job. Have you considered my servant Job? He had considered him. Not a man like him, he says. Turns from evil. And then he goes on, he says to the Lord, skin for skin. He's only serving you because you put a hedge about him. Job will serve you and walk with you as long as you bless his home, bless his family, and give him plenty. He says, I'll tell you what to do. You can touch his skin, but you can't take his life. And he allowed the enemy to touch him. And look at that dear man went through. Lost 10 children in one day. Lost 10 children in one day. Lost all his wealth. Lost all his riches. And boy, it says Job bowed and worshipped the Lord. Then Mrs. Job comes in and she's a bit of a pain in the neck. She says, curse God and die. He says, shall we receive good and shall we not receive wrong from the Lord? But in the providence of God, this old COVID thing is in the world. And he could take it away with one word. He could take it away with one swish. And in the providence of God, it has been alive. And you see, when we come out of it, folks, the chaff and the wheat will be sorted out. The chaff and the wheat will be sorted out. We'll see how many ones back to the meetings. We'll see how many ones back to the place of prayer. God bless you, by the way, for being here. And God bless you for prayer meetings still going on. God bless you for doors still open. Wish you were more like us. Wish you were more like us. But there's a great storm. And dear folks, the world and the nations are in a great storm. And they know not where to turn. The suicide rate has increased. Terrible things are happening in our world and in our nations. Young people know not where to turn. And dear friends, there's only one anchor of the soul, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. A great storm. But then you'll notice as we move on tonight, there's going to be a great stillness. 37-39. Now notice his command. There's 37. Well, verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say, Master, curest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and said unto it, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea. Now, could you imagine Jonathan Campbell going down to the Foyle River and standing at the edge of it and telling them, listen, they'll do it with the right coach. Put them in a wee van and take them up the road and lock them up. And the Lord Jesus commands that he speaks to nature, he speaks to the wind, and he speaks to the sea. And you'll notice not only his command, his control, he says, peace be still. He silences the storm. I'm interested in the meaning of the words. Even as a child, I was interested in the meaning of the words. And I looked it up in the Greek language. And those wee words, peace be still, it's the picture of a dangerous dog being muzzled. And the Lord literally muzzled the storm. And he told it to keep quiet. Now, I know what dangerous dogs are like. I serve in RUC. And one night I had to go out on patrol all night with the EDR and the Army. And I was out in this Land Rover, and the dog handler was out. And I kept German Shepherds myself for all seasons, if you want to call them. So I wasn't afraid of them. But this boy was in the back, and he was a monster. And your man had a muzzle on him. It was a good job, because he looked me in the eye, and he didn't take a liking to me. And he was wanting to have a go at me. And he was, rrr. Now, I sat and patted him like a puff. Why? He was muzzled. And he couldn't get at me. He couldn't get at me. One day I seen him eyeballing me up and down the air route. And I says, boy, I wouldn't like the muzzle off him. No, I says, Kelly, you wouldn't. Ah, but I says, he can't get at me. Why? He was muzzled. And dear friends, the Lord Jesus muzzled the storm. He put a muzzle on it. He told the storm indeed. And you see, the Lord is in control. And I think in the present climate, an awful lot of Christians are running about like headless chickens, forgetting that the Lord in his sovereign will is in control. He said, peace be still. And you see the storm you go through. When he says, peace be still, it'll be peace be still. It'll happen that way. And when this whole thing ends, there's only one can end it. It's the Lord. And our nation's no time for him. And our governments have no time for him. And the world has no time for him. And yet he steps into the situation here. And you see his control. Why could he control a storm? Because he's the creator. And you see, it's a wonderful thing to know what he creates, he can control. You read the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the same was with God, and it says, all things were made by him. And what he creates, he controls. He controls. And the Lord Jesus is in control. And all over the world today, literally, let me tell you, thousands got saved. Thousands. All over the road. Muslims, Sikhs, Hindus, Protestants, Catholics got saved. And the gospel is still going out and still going far and wide. And there was indeed this great stillness. And you see, when he steps into the storms of life, there'll be a great stillness. Maybe there's something in your family circle or in your own home, and you need the Lord to speak into that situation and say, peace, be still. You know, it says in the Bible that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. So there's no point you staying awake. You leave that to him. You go to bed tonight and put your head in the pillow. And you go to sleep and enjoy your rest. And you leave it with him. So there was a great storm. And dear friends, there's a great storm in the world today. A great storm in the world today. But yet you know there's an even bigger storm. Every year 71.3 million children are aborted around the world. And there's not too many saying much about it. That staggers me. Around the world, every year, 71.3 million children are flushed down the gutter. And there's not too many standing up for them and pleading their cause. What a storm. What a storm. Is God judging the nations because of it? I don't know. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But I know this here, folks. There's a great storm going on in the world today. And even in our own land, it's not turning too many to him. I'm not getting too many phone calls from Ballyshelly Estate. Can I get the appointment of Christ? And I'm sure it's not happening down here either. Mr. Campbell's not getting many calling them up. Listen, I'm frightened of this. There's people dying because of it. Could you point to the Lord? I need to be saved. I'd love to have the assurance of salvation. I'd love to have the joy of sins forgiven. I'd love to have peace with God. I'd love to have an eternal home. I'd love to be ready for end times. Oh, dear friends, are you in a storm tonight? Are you in a storm tonight? Is your family in a storm? Is your home going through a storm? Because it's a wonderful thing to know that there might be a great storm, but one day there'll be a great stillness. There's also something else. There's a great storm, isn't there? There's a great stillness. Could I tell you something tonight in this portion of Scripture? There's a great Savior. There's a great Savior. Look at 39 and 40, or 40 and 41. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? A great Savior. What makes him a great Savior? Well, there's many things, and we could keep you here all night speaking about that. But could I speak about his perfect humanity? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ never sinned. He's not like Kenny. The Lord Jesus Christ did no sin, knew no sin, and in him was no sin. And I was working with Norman Fox one time, and there was a wee Christian woman in our church in Lisburn, and her husband wasn't saved. And I'll tell you, he was a pain in the neck to live with. And he was an old rascal. And he says to me one day, and I was visiting the home, he says, Jesus must have sinned. Never. I can tell you he sinned. Never. He says, I'll show you where he sinned. He says, didn't he make a whip and whip them out and turned over their tables and put them out? Oh, I says he did. Righteous anger. And I said, if Kenny had been putting them out, I'd have got the couple of boys, put the boot in them, overturned their table, lifted their money, put them in my pocket, and I'd have sinned. But he didn't. Righteous anger. And we're even told to be angry and sin not. But there was his perfect humanity. You see, folks, in the first century, the Apostle John had to teach about his perfect humanity. Because what happened was there were groups of people called Gnostics. And there were rascals. And some of them went about saying, you see this person Jesus had to speak about? He's not a real person. He's a phantom. It's like seeing a ghost. And that's who he is. But he's not real. So John writes in 1 John chapter 1. And verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Why did John say we heard him? Because they said he was only a ghost, a phantom. It wasn't a real person. So John says we heard him. And then John says we seen him with our eyes. And then John says we looked upon him. And then John says we handled him. Mr. Gnostic, you not understand it? He's real. He was perfect human. He had a body like ours. He was hungry. He was tired in the hinder part of the ship. He could cry at the tomb of his friend. His perfect humanity. And dear friends, anybody tonight that is not dependent on a perfect Savior will go to hell and be lost. And our Lord Jesus Christ was 100% human. Every feeling we go through apart from sin, he went through. That's why he's sleeping in the boat. He'd been teaching and preaching, and he was weary and he was tired. There's his perfect humanity. There's also his perfect deity. Why? Because it says he arose and spoke to the storm. And you see, it takes deity to control every situation in life. Only had to speak the word. And dear friends, do you see this whole pandemic or whatever you want to call it? He only has to speak the word. But now we can't command him. He's not a boot boy or a message boy. He's a sovereign Lord. And there is indeed his perfect deity. And you see, Scripture teaches about the perfect deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every modern cult denies it. The Jehovah's Witnesses deny it. And all these modern cults deny that he was fully God as well as fully man. Let me quote you a wee verse. You mark it in your Bible and you show these people that night how you'll confuse them. Colossians 2:9 says this about him. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What? 98%? No. 99%? No. 100%. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Fully God and fully man. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior. He's a great Savior because of his sacrifice at Calvary. Do you know in the Roman Mass, they have the bloodless sacrifice? And they sacrifice him day in, day out, day in, day out. Do you know Calvary was a once and completed work? Never to be repeated again. He said himself, it is finished. And because of his sacrifice at Calvary, because of a sinless life, what about because of the seat that he occupies today? You know, some Christians have forgot to read the book of Hebrews. Because the book of Hebrews takes you from the cradle to the crown. And it gets you right into the heavenlies. And it tells you if you're saved, you have a great high priest and an intercessor. Whoever lives to make intercession for you. And when you can't pray, he can. And when you can't put it into words, he can. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, or to simplify it, our weaknesses. And we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. When I can't pray, he can. When you miss prayer, he doesn't. And he's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. There's a little song and I love it. The longer we serve him, the sweeter he grows. And oh dear friends, if you're in a meeting like this tonight and you're not saved, oh that you would taste and see that the Lord is good. I know we mourn sometimes in prison or prayer meeting. Oh, if they would only try. Oh, if they would only try them. Listen, folks, don't betray them. Don't betray them. Trust them. Taste, but not try. Trust them. And taste and see that the Lord is good. And if he hadn't have taken them into the storm, they wouldn't have been able to say, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. We were closer to the Lord in life when we were going through the storms of life. And I'm telling you, I don't like storms. Last Christmas, my middle girl and her husband came. There was children and there were relatives from Scotland. And they wanted to go down to Port Stewart. And we'd been planning it for a while. And you book this wee boat and he takes you out for a wee while of a couple of hours fishing. Well, I don't travel well on boats. And the boats went out and it wasn't too bad. And I says, this is dead on, there's no big problem here. And we'll get out and we're fishing and we'll catch a couple of wee mackerel. But then the boat starts to go like this. It's just a day, 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 day. And I give the mackerel my lunch. Regurgitated. And I turned pale. And I got on the floor and I lay on the floor and the boy's walking back and he's screwing my head. Say, what are you doing? Say, what are you doing down there? I says, I can't hack this. And I was ill for two measly mackerel. And I come home and put them in the pan and fried them and fed them to my dogs. And I don't like storms. And none of us like storms. But it's only when he steps in. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He staggered their minds. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord steps in to the storms of life. And says, peace be still. And folks, there's a great storm going on in our land. I'm not foolish. I'll put the stuff in my hands. And if I go into a shop because I want, I put a thing in my mouth. But one day I was visiting an old dear in the hospital. And I wear a hearing aid because I don't hear too well. And when I'm in the house, I take it out. And then I don't hear half the things my wife's saying. But anyway, I'm coming out of the hospital. I'm taking the mask on. And the next thing I hear, and it's just hanging half off the ear. And it's a dangerous thing to have. Hearing aids and masks and hooking off. And I'm not foolish and I behave myself. And there's a bit of a storm going on.
But as well as a great storm, folks, I believe there's a great Saviour. I believe there's a great Saviour. And He's a wonderful Saviour. And He loves men and women. And He died for souls. And He wants people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And no matter what way this all pans out, listen, folks, there's another little song, and I had it on a CD. I read the back of the book, and we win. And I'm sure you've read the book of the Revelation. And you see him in Revelation 19 and 16. And you see him with the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's with a vesture dipped in blood. And every enemy, every disease, every demon is all put down and defeated. Why did he get into the boat? And why was he going to the far side of the lake? Well, we haven't time to stick at it tonight, but let me give you three thoughts why he was going to do that. If you read into Mark 5, he was going to show his power over demons. Who does he meet when he gets out of the boat? A man called Legion. He went to the far side to save a soul. This man, Legion, demon-possessed. What is your name? Legion, for we are many. One scholar says that means he had either 600 to 6,000 demons in him, because that's what a legion was in the Roman army. That's why he got into the boat. That's why he went to the far side of the lake. There was a soul to be saved. That's why he went to Calvary. For souls to be saved. And lives to be redeemed. To show his power over demons. And then you'll read on. And a wee woman comes and she's an infirmity. An issue of blood 12 years. And he's going to show his power over disease. And dear friends, the Lord Jesus is almighty and all powerful over disease. And one day he'll defeat all disease. Every disease going. He's power over demons. He's power over disease. And then you read on. And Jairus' daughter, wee girl, died. Power over death. Power over death. And that's a wonderful thing to know. The Lord Jesus Christ does for his own. And for the saved of God. And power over death. And that's what makes him a great Saviour. There's nobody can save like him. There's no religion. There's no salvation in religion. I lived in County Mayo for 4 years. And I met dozens and dozens and dozens of religious people. But every time I talked to them, there's one thing they didn't have. The assurance of salvation. I said, if you died tonight, sir, would you know for sure you'd go to heaven? No, I wouldn't. Why do you know? I says, yes, I do. He says, you can't know. I says, I can. He says, you can't. I says, I can. He says, how can you know? I says, because I'm trusting on the finished work of Calvary's cross. John writes in his epistle, 1 John 5:13, I write these things unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life. And I said, sir, listen to what he says, that you may know. And that's the difference of the gospel and religion. Religion can't know. And salvation, and the gospel says we can know that we have eternal life. Maybe tonight your friends or your family are in a great storm. Now, dear friends, listen. All we can do is point them to the master of the seas. The great storm, the great stillness. Dear friends, one day there will be a great stillness. I know when you look around and you see the mess of the world, you would think the devil was winning. Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. The Lord's in control. A great Saviour. And tonight as we bring our meeting to a close, if you don't know him, could we commend you to a great Saviour who died for you, who loves you, who rose again from the dead, who conquered it all, who seated at the right hand of the Father tonight, and he ever lives to make intercession for you. We can't commend him enough. My vocabulary is not broad enough to paint the loveliness of Christ to you. I wish I could. But he's altogether lovely. He's the lily of the valley. He's the first of 10,000 to our souls. He's the lovely, precious Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come to him tonight if you know him not? And meet this great Saviour. Now I'm going to hand back to Pastor Campbell. Thank you for having me. And thank you for listening to me. Thank you.